Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 8, Episode 29. I'm Tim, there's Jeff, Steph, and Dustin. Say hi.
Howdy.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. We got a fun show tonight. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite sketch shows and some of our favorite sketch show scenes, plus a whole bunch of other stuff. But before we get going to that, everybody seems to like the fact that we're back on our old schedule, show dropping on Saturday mornings. So I wanted to read a couple of things people said. Terry writes, "We always wake up and watch Radio Labyrinth on Saturdays. This just feels better, and hopefully it's better for you all, which is most important." I think we're all cool with it, don't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
Brian says, "Saturdays are back. Big cup of coffee and best show on YouTube. Love you guys." Thanks, man.
Aw, how nice.
Unidentified person says, "The girlfriend and I wake and bake every Saturday morning and watch Radio Labyrinth on YouTube." So, hey, man.
Think of a better way to watch it.
That was Steph that said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girlfriend and I.
What's your girlfriend's name, Steph?
Gina.
Gina. Hey, what's up?
Hey, listen, we appreciate all you guys and your feedback and stuff, and it does feel good to be back on schedule. If you'd like to be a Patreon member of Radio Labyrinth and have access to our review shows that we do on Patreon for Patreon members, like currently we're doing Righteous Gemstones, you can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And you could come in at any level and you'll have access to that show. If you come in at the $25 a month level, you'll become a producer and you will get a t-shirt. Kevin Jackson got his today.
Yeah, I saw that.
He got the Radio Shack t-shirt. I got to get myself one of those, but we also have to find a new place to host our artwork and t-shirts. So if you guys know of any place like that, let us know. You also can get a printout of one of my drawings. It's called a DFT, Doodle from Tim. Stickers and whatnot. We want to say thank you to our producers. We have Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, and Matt Carter. Thank you guys very much. But we appreciate anything that you can donate and throw our way. And yeah, so again, that's patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Don't forget to rate and review us on your podcatchers if you're a listener, whether that's Spotify, which we need to bump up, or iTunes, that'd be cool. And if you're watching it on YouTube, give it a thumbs up if you like it. Even if you don't like it, give it a thumbs up. Turn on all the alerts and all that and follow us and share us with your friends. So, yeah. I want to talk about a couple things before we get to our section, though. So we had talked about doing a sort of a breakdown of Justified. Justified's just had the third episode dropped, right?
Yeah.
And the name of the series, what is it? It's Justified.
City Primeval.
Now, when we first started talking about it, I hadn't watched it yet. Jeff, you had watched the first two, and Steph, you had watched one. I was led to believe
I didn't make it through the first one.
You didn't make it through the first one. Now, have you gone back? Tried to?
No, not yet.
I'm curious.
I have not.
Bothers you?
What bothers me? I don't know. It seems very pandering.
Was it in the hills?
Yeah, I just don't like it. I don't like, and I think maybe I take it whatever just because that's my city, yo.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's a really good representation of it, honestly. And the judge, the way the judge was acting. David Keith's a phenomenal actor.
He didn't take it out for air.
Yeah, he didn't take it. I know it's pretty, but I didn't take it out for air.
That was pure Alabama black snake, is what that was.
If them pines smell that cross the pussy down by the river, hot damn.
Arch man in Tennessee, sniff the pines, sniff that cross mountain pussy down by the river. Woo, hot damn.
That'd be awesome if you could do that at his funeral someday. If you just sniff that, that's his eulogy.
Put the glasses on. Put the glass. I don't want to put them glasses on. Most epic fight in movie. Of course, they're talking about Keith David. You don't have to worry about it because at the end of the first episode, he's dead. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad, though. I mean, for him, but yeah.
And then it goes into really Justified. You get the Justified vibe. And Jeff brought up that people didn't like his daughter, Timothy Oliphant's daughter, playing the role of his, you know, TV daughter. But I'm not distracted by her. I think she's fine. She's playing a teenage girl, so there's nothing but angst, right?
Yeah.
Back to it. I mean, there's really no choice because, like, nothing new is going to be coming out for pretty soon. So I'll definitely revisit it.
She's Vivian Oliphant. She's playing Willa Givens, his 15-year-old daughter. I don't know how old she is in real life. But the cast of this show is pretty good. The defense attorney is really good. I think her character is good. Vondi Curtis Hall is a good actor. Now, for people who don't know exactly who that might be, there's two instances I can give you. He played a guy on The Sopranos who did a property scheme with Tony and the district selectman. But he's also the guy in Coming to America who drops down to his knees at the Knicks game because he recognizes Eddie Murphy. Now, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Vondi Curtis Hall. But he's been in a ton of stuff. But you do. You have a really good cast. Wendell Robinson is a character played by Victor Williams. He's the detective that's hanging out with Raylan. And he's funny, too. It's dark. It's edgy. Raylan's in a place where he's not familiar all that much, I don't think. And all sorts of stuff's going on.
I think it's, too, like Boyd Holbrook, which I really like him a lot. And I loved him on Narcos. He just seems so zany and goofballish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just didn't buy it. I'll just go back and try and watch it again.
Yeah. I watched a clip of Timothy Oliphant. It was on some Conan thing, and Conan sort of asked him who the biggest pain in the ass was, and he wouldn't say. He goes, but he's been on your show, and Conan goes, well, the only other person I've ever had on the show from Justified was Patton Oswalt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I could see them butting heads.
There.
Heads over what, though?
Just egos.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so.
I think Oliphant, he struck me as like a laid-back surfer dude.
Yeah.
And he's like a California native. And
well, he thought it was funny that everybody was giving him the Nepo baby shit. He thought it was hilarious that everyone thinks that about his... I mean, it proves that he doesn't... He seems pretty laid back. He was like, what the hell's a Nepo baby in the first place?
I mean, come on. Hollywood is filled with that crap. And if that was the way that he had... If that's what they had to do to get him to bring the character back to life, then so be it. She's not bad.
Yeah.
Did anybody go to Barbenheimer over the weekend?
No.
Nobody saw you?
But I heard some things. Like, you don't really have to hit IMAX to enjoy Oppenheimer.
No. But that, not my boss who has to see it in the 700-mile gigantic thing he wants to see it. I think he's toned that down and just going to go see it. No interest in Barbie. I know some
I
of the...
I want to see that.
No, I want to see it eventually, but I don't need to go to the theater to see either one of those.
My hairstylist went to see Oppenheimer. She was telling me that it was 3 hours long. And
did she go to IMAX?
She didn't say. But she said it was 3 hours long, which it felt like 3 hours. But at the same time, she said she also did not leave to go to the bathroom. And she did not fall asleep, which is like a really big deal for her.
Wow.
So she said it was very entertaining. And they didn't really, you weren't just like seeing people getting blasted to shit in Hiroshima. They barely even, I mean, that's just like a back note of it. Like, yes, this happened, and then
blah. Did you see one person getting blasted to shit, though?
Ew.
Who's that?
During that sex scene.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the sex scene's pretty intense, eh?
People bitch about everything.
It's supposed to be some epic, like, 4-minute blowjob.
Well, scene. Good.
Yeah. But the one thing that I thought was really funny... Not funny, but interesting. Nolan said that he wasn't going to use CGI in this movie. He was going to use practical effects and everything else. But he did have to put a CGI effect in afterwards. And it was just on Florence Pugh. Her naked body sitting in a chair. They digitally put a black dress on her because it wouldn't air in like 7 countries because of that scene.
No, it won't air in Japan at all. Not surprisingly. But the thing that freaked me out about it, or was kind of weird about it, is that they did that dual marketing thing, and it was all over the news. Like, only in the modern era do you see movies being promoted by news companies. Like, it was a big news story, and they were calling it Barbenheimer, not Oppie, which is what I would have called it, Oppie. But when in history have they ever done that? I thought, you know, Spaceballs and Full Metal Jacket both opened on the same weekend in 1987. So I don't remember a shitty portmanteaus like Full Metal Balls or Space Jacket.
Yeah. Just Full Balls would have been great.
Full Balls. In March of 87, Raising Arizona and Evil Dead 2 came out. So what would those have been? Raising Dead and Arizona Evil or Evil Arizona?
Well, both are I would go for yeah. I like Evil Arizona.
How about June 23rd, 1989, Batman and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids both came out on the same weekend. So Honey, I Shrunk the Batman or Batman, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's the worst one. Yeah, that's the worst out of the whole three.
Or The Matrix and 10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About The Matrix.
Yes. Yeah, I just don't know. It was weird how they marketed that, but we'll see those eventually. I probably.
You think it's just because they've been the movie industry, there's hardly any big movies anymore. Yes. And for them to have two on the same weekend.
Yeah, they're just trying to jumpstart the theater.
Yeah, they're trying to get people
again.
Back in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Blue Beetle's coming out. It's projected to be a bomb already. And I don't know that people are going to go see that.
The Barbie thing, though, my sister went to that. I mean, it was like a really big thing with a lot of chicks and they dressed up and it was a whole big thing. So that was kind of cool just for the simple fact that really, they never do shit like that anymore. So I thought that was kind of neat. The zeitgeist behind it. And people were, you know, doing it up a little bit.
Besides, you know, the stupid presidential race that's a year and a half away.
I dressed up as a mushroom cloud and went to see Oppenheimer.
Dressed up. What did I dress? Oh, yeah. Enola Gay, which is my drag name.
I dressed up as Sato from Karate Kid 3.
Same.
That's all I'm going to do. Is this the stump that you and I found together?
Same. Same.
You disappoint Uncle. See, you can't do the voices anymore. It's not fun.
No.
I didn't know how we were going to approach this. I like this idea. I love the idea. The 40 greatest sketch comedy TV shows. Rolling Stone has it. The best comedy sketch shows of all time. The AV Club. There's so many. And it was kind of a daunting task for me to look at. Did you guys, you know, think about it at all? Or did you just look at the list? Think. I mean, we have our top five. Scenes or whatever, but Jeff put a poll up. Why don't you give the results? First, let's give the results of the poll. So these are the sitcoms, not sitcoms, sketch comedy shows going back to God knows when, the beginning of television, all the way up to now. Some of them could have been in Europe or whatever, England, because he got Monty Python and Benny Hill. Those are a part of that, right?
Yeah, Saturday Night Live and Monty Python were tied on the poll.
Okay.
And then The Kids in the Hall.
That was third.
Chappelle Show.
Fourth.
Those were the next two biggest ones. And then there's a bunch with like 2 or 3%. Like,
you say In Living Color already?
No, In Living Color.
12%.
Yeah.
That one did well.
Then SCTV, Mad TV.
I would think that SCTV would be
State.
A little... And then on our Facebook page, we had a bunch of comments. Robert Calderman said, In Living Color and Mad TV were his favorites. Che Butler says, The Pythons are the OGs. They whetted my appetite and taught me to love the genre. That being said, they're all great for their own twists on the theme. Dean Poole. Remember Dean Poole?
Yeah, Rockdale Tiger.
Yeah, he's Rockdale Tiger. He used to be the co-host of Mike TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think you should leave for recency bias, of course. Some people, some others to add as honorable mentions, The State, Human Giant, Key and Peele, Chappelle's Show.
Human Giant, Cornfield.
Yeah.
Portlandia, and early seasons of Robot Chicken.
All good ones.
Jerry Fuchs, a.k.a. Fuchsy. SNL, the 70s were great. Very hit or miss, which make it great. And then you had the Murphy years and then Phil Hartman. Of course, you had Mad TV and In Living Color. I watched the sketch today that always cracked me up because Sinead O'Connor died. So I watched that Frank Sinatra McLaughlin group roundtable where
I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
Billy Idol, you got Chris Rock as Luther Campbell. I don't understand a word. Stephen Eady. Mike Myers, Victoria Jackson, And of course, Phil Hartman, the late, great Phil Hartman is, Jan Hicks is playing Sinead O'Connor.
This crap with MTV, with the nudity and all. What is this crap? Sinbad O'Connor.
Bloody awful, but it's typical of entertainment in a male-dominated society.
Boo-hoo, you had me and then you lost me.
Tracy McCoy says, anyone remember The Goodies? I don't. It was on PBS in the 70s, and I remember thinking it was like The Monkees. I don't remember The Goodies. I might want to look that up on YouTube. BK on the Air loved SCTV and Mad TV. I love BK on the Air. He knows the classic stuff. Roby Neely, top contributor, says, of course, the first for me was SNL because it was on network TV, but it's not my top choice. There are many memorable moments. 40 years of talent and writing will do that. I think shorter run shows had more of an impact. I think he makes a good point there. Watching Monty Python on PBS, Carol Burnett. I didn't even think about Carol Burnett, and that should be much higher.
Yeah.
The greatest sketch show ever was Kids in the Hall, hands down. It was broadcast Friday nights in Colorado. Normally, that was one of my clubbing nights, but I would either stay in or go out. I remember watching Kids in the Hall. Before Comedy Central, there were two different comedy channels, and one carried, God, they would constantly replay Kids in the Hall and Mystery Science Theater, and this was about 1990. And I started watching Kids in the Hall before that, but that one was really special because you felt subversive watching it. That's like the last one, well, maybe for that era, but it was so funny. And so different from Saturday Night Live. And it was more, it had more of a Monty Python feel.
Yeah.
Because they would dress up as the women and the sketches moved in and out. Definitely. 30 Helens agree. Kids in the Hall is pure gold. And says some of his favorite sketches, which we'll get into here in a second. Tim Conway as the dentist on Carol Burnett. Spam, Monty Python, Bloody Vikings. SNL, Hobbit Office. I don't know that one. In Living Color, Wanda. Yeah, anything with Wanda was funny. Mad TV, Stuart and his mom. Stuart!
Look what I can do.
I don't want to stab.
Oh!
Mad TV had some underrated stuff. I think my favorite early Mad TV, well, it wouldn't be early, Will Sasso. I'm Kenny Rogers.
Oh, yeah. The Kenny Rogers ones were always so good. Yeah. The one with Jordan Peele and that little girl, she was that little tiny woman, and they were crumpers. They would dress up in that clown makeup and they would crump, like dance, and he would always like dance her so hard that he'd slam her into a wall and she'd be mangled.
And which Key and Peele should be mentioned too, is just as far as,
oh yeah, Key and Peele had lots of great sketches. Liam's Neeson's, oh my god, Liam's Neeson's made, I almost thought I was gonna die.
I need to go that because I only saw a couple episodes.
The teacher sketch,
yeah. Those first two seasons were so
Aaron.
Yeah. Well, Joctavius Mercera trucks. And they do the football names. Oh, yeah. God.
Well, according to the AV Club, the best, and we'll just do the top 10. The top 10 best comedy sketch shows of all time. And this is according to AV Club, which is The Onion. Number 10 is I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Number 9, Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. Number 8, The Carol Burnett Show. Number 7, The Mitchell and Weblock. What is that? That Mitchell and Weblock.
British.
Okay. Number 6, Key and Peele. Number 5, The State. Which one is Ass Pennies from? The State or The Whitest Kids You Know?
Upright Citizens Brigade.
One of them. Ass yeah. Pennies, my favorites. Jeff turned me on to that. Number 4, In Living Color. Number 3, Mr. Show with Bob and David. Number 2, Kids in the Hall. Number 1, Monty Python's Flying Circus. I think they're just grandfathered in at number 1.
I think You Should Leave should be all 10 of the top 10.
I think SCTV and Saturday Night Live are better than Tim and Eric Awesome Show.
Yeah.
And The State. But that's just personal opinion. How do you do a top 10 list?
Yeah, Tim and Eric, they had some funny sketches for sure, but I was also on so many drugs.
Yeah.
I watched them, and I don't think that I watch them now and think that they were funny.
Steve Brule is still
funny. As funny. Yes. Steve Brule is great.
Yeah.
So Jeff and I each picked our 5 favorite scenes. Did you guys?
Yeah, I got mine.
Sort of, yes. You guys go ahead.
Jeff, you go first.
Yeah, mine, number 5 is The Census on Saturday Night Live, Tim Meadows and Christopher Walken.
A bobcat.
my wife, she's a bobcat.
You live alone with a bobcat. I have some candy bars.
That's hilarious, guy. Number four, Titanica, Mr. Show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Titanica.
When they pull back the blanket and reveal the guy.
Yeah! Our new t-shirt. Hey, buddy, try it on. Oh, my God. Oh, man. The acid came right up to my chin. Yeah, the doctor said I should be dead, huh?
It doesn't look that bad. It actually looks kind of cool, man. Let's put the sheet back.
Yeah. I also like the one where Titanica, it's a different sketch, but they're in the hot tub.
Number three is Coffin Flops for Corn Cop TV on I Think You Should Leave.
I didn't do fucking shit. I didn't rig shit. I've been waiting a long time for a hit on Corn Cop TV. I didn't fucking do this.
Number two, Clayton Bigsby on Chappelle Show.
Quoting that.
Yeah.
don't do any of that.
Yeah, I'm not even putting a clip in for that one.
Number one, I picked Argument Clinic from Monty Python. It was hard to pick the best one of those.
Yeah.
Is this the right one for an argument? I've told you once. No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5-minute one.
Fine.
That was classic.
Is this the right room for an argument? I told you once. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Yes. Wait, the best line of that whole sketch outside of the argument is when he goes in and he goes, "Don't give me that, you snotty-faced heap of parrot dropping. Your type makes me puke. You vacuous, coffee-nosed, malodorous pervert."
Shut your festering gob, you tit! Your type makes me puke! You vacuous, toffee-nosed, malodorous pervert!
Look, I came in here for an argument!
Oh, I'm sorry, this is abuse.
Oh. All right. Mine are five, Space, The Infinite Frontier from Saturday Night Live. Those are those two great sketches where Will Ferrell played Harry Carey and
Linda Hamm.
Linda Hamm. Hey, Linda, does your name ever Harry, why? I don't know. Hey, when are we going to finally get over to Mars? An evening of it, we could a dude buggy and my sandwich, Linda.
No, I mean you and me. We can make an evening of it. We'll head on over to Mars and I'll bring my sandwich, Linda.
Those are kill me. Play It Again, Bob from SCTV. Dave Thomas doing a spot on Bob Hope. Probably the only person on Earth who could do a Bob Hope impression. Woody Allen wants to make a road picture with him as an homage. They don't gel, but it is very funny.
Yeah, that was purely coincidental. I happen to be here in New York doing a special with the Village People. Have you seen those guys? Boy, they're wild.
No, I've read about them. I mean, they're really not my cup of tea. I mean, my idea of macho is like a really smart sport jacket, you know?
Yeah. Rick Moranis doing, again, a spot on Woody Allen. It's very good. If you've never seen it, it's on YouTube. Ghost Tour from I Think You Should Leave. It was hard for me to pick. I like a lot of sketches, but Ghost Tour is great. Jizz.
It's just after 10 p.m. This is the adult tour, which means you can drink if you want, and we can say whatever the hell we want.
Jizz.
Sorry?
Jizz. By cum shot. You can say that because you say we can say whatever the hell we want.
Any of these fuckers ever like big horse cock?
I was going to tell you guys, what's funny is my youngest son, we were sitting at the dinner table the other day. All of a sudden, out of the blue, he goes, "I just want to know if anybody ever came by." And I was like, "What did they?" And he was quoting it like at the dinner table, non-prompted. He had no idea that we were listening. I was like, "You know what that is?" He goes, "Dude, that's hilarious." He said, "My friends keep passing it back and forth." I was like, "Yes, I succeeded."
That's awesome.
And then the end with his mom, "Did you make any friends?" Not really. The Eardrop Awards, Mr. Show with Bob and David. The reason that one means so much to me is, A, it's super funny. But the first time I saw it was the night before my grandmother's funeral. My cousin and I were in a hotel room and I was smoking weed. and I got super, super stoned. We just laughed our asses off through that one. That one was so fucking funny. And then, you know, we woke up and we were late for the funeral, which wasn't funny. But anyway, very memorable. But the Teardrop Awards were Bob Odenkirk is playing like a Dennis Wilson guy, Willips Brighton. And he keeps singing songs about mouth sores. Jeff and I saw that prior to that funeral thing, too. And died the first time. The first time I ever saw it was with Jeff. Remember that? It was the best. Yeah. And dying. And the number one, and it's simply because of when it took place and how it really shined a light on the media at the time. And this is a long time ago. Buckwheat Buys the Farm. Saturday Night Live, Eddie Murphy playing Buckwheat. Joe Piscopo playing Ted Koppel. Buckwheat gets shot.
Didn't they have like a call-in poll to decide if Buckwheat lives or dies?
Yeah.
And all that stuff. It was just, it was super relevant for the time. And it really made fun, it made fun of the Reagan assassination.
Yeah.
Because of the way they kept showing it over. Yo, Mr. Wheat. I love you.
He was back into the left.
Top story tonight. Buckwheat is dead.
Oh, beautiful.
As you can see here, Buckwheat is surrounded by some of his admirers. He had many. And right here, the shots. Yes, there they are. The shots are actually ringing out. You can see here his security men run for cover. There they go. It's a tragedy.
So those are mine, you guys.
Number five, I had Kids in the Hall, the Daves I Know.
That was rare.
That was that one's got an earworm. It just sticks in your head for days.
I know these are the Daves I know.
Number four was Monty Python, Sergeant Major marching up and down the square from The Meaning of Life.
Anyone got anything they'd rather be doing than marching up and down the square? Yes, Atkinson. What would you rather be doing, Atkinson?
Well, to be quite honest, Sarge, I'd rather be at home with the wife and kids.
Would you now?
Yes, Sarge.
Right, off you go.
Would you rather be at home practicing the piano? Right, off you go. And he ends up sending everybody home. Chappelle's Show, Charlie Murphy stories. Like, yeah, any of those are instant classics. The Carol Burnett Show, The Dentist, that when I was a kid, the best memory of that is sitting on the floor in front of a big console television and not being able to hear what was going on the television because my granddad was almost having a hemorrhage. He was laughing so hard at it. And it's just every time I watch it, I can still hear him laughing. So that one always holds a special place. And my number one you brought up already was Mad TV's Kenny Rogers Jackass. That was probably one of the funniest bits. I remember just every time I see it, I still laugh like I did the first time I watched it.
Hi, I'm Kenny Rogers.
Hi, I'm Wee Man.
Hi, I'm Preston Lacey.
Hi, I'm Steve-O.
And I'm Kenny Rogers. Welcome to Jackass.
The gallon of milk.
Then they just beat the shit out of him.
He also did. Do you remember that one that Will Sasso did? A Honey Dipper Down, where it was a big old, it was like a big shit, like a can that you shit in. Yes, he was a honey dipper. They called Honey Dipper Down, and it was just a big, big giant tromping.
Now look, all Artie Lang's greatest. Wait.
That was a good one, though. I don't say, of course, there's a Chappelle one for me. It's going to be the racial draft.
Oh, yeah.
The Bill Burr. That's the most classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one is so good. For Saturday Night Live, it's the one where Will Ferrell is a nude model.
Yeah.
And he just keeps on. Oh, God. I love that. That one kills me. And I'll say probably my favorite of his, though, was, and this means a lot to me, is the Neil Diamond and The Rock as Bigfoot.
Oh, wait, the Rock and Bigfoot?
Yeah. Will Ferrell plays Neil Diamond and The Rock plays Bigfoot.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that one. I remember.
Oh man, Neil, it's so good, and he's doing. He does a really good Neil Diamond, but it's very funny, and The Rock is super funny in that one too.
I want to go home and watch all these, especially the Neil Diamond one, and then the other Neil Diamond one where he's, I killed a drifter to get in a wreck.
Oh, in the Upright Citizens Brigade, the hole in the sheet, when he could do anything through the hole in the sheet.
Yeah.
Anything.
Well, I hope everybody liked that. I mean, there's so much. We could just ramble on and on about all of our favorite sketches and stuff. And
everybody can tell us what their favorite sketches of all time are.
Yeah. Post it in the comments in the YouTube if you're watching it, please. Your favorite lines and stuff like that. Yeah, that was fun. Good idea, Steph.
That wasn't my idea.
Good idea, Jeff.
There you go.
Okay.
Good idea, Dustin.
Don't look at me.
Good idea, Tim.
Did a great job, Tim.
Good idea, man or woman. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with Views or Snooze and our staff picks.
Hey, I'd like to say thank you to Atlanta Pizza Nero, our longest sponsor here on Radio Leverett. And thank you to Mike Hole and everybody at the restaurant, dude. Summer is in full swing, and they have some new local craft beers for you to enjoy, like Coors, which is a banquet beer. But a good pizza beer might be Terrapin Brewing's Watermelon Goza. It's a tasty, refreshing sour ale. It's a thirst-quenching delight, served ice cold on draft. We added another tasty local brew, Sassafras. No, Creature Comforts Classic City Lager is now also available on draft. They've also added Landshark Lager to round out their updated summer beer selection. Hey, Atlanta Pizza in Europe serves up the best freshly made Greek and Italian specialties around. In an authentic retro dive pizza place with a come-as-you-are, family-friendly atmosphere where you can be the dude. Dine-in and takeout are both available. Limited delivery through Slash, DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, Pony Express, Rocky Dennis on his motorcycle. But I think you might be terrified if you answer the door and that guy's standing there holding pizza. Well, maybe if it's Eric Stoltz. Hey, if you're a business or a corporate client who's looking to book a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Euro by calling 770-483-6228. They're open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9. Saturday, 12 to 9, and they are closed on the Lord's Day.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity. You have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. Anyway, in Athens, Georgia, since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices. Anyway, call them at 706-316-9366. Or anyway, email them at athens@ldiline.com. All right, Linda, do we need any kind of repro printing? No? All right, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. I'll be back.
A couple of plugs. Joining me on my radio show, The Popcast, which airs on Saturday nights on WSB. If you're in the Atlanta market, you can listen on 95.5 FM or 750 AM if you so choose. Or if you have an app or a phone, you can download the WSB radio app and listen to it live streaming at 7 PM. Or you can just wait and it comes out on Monday. But this week, tonight, Kevin Keeney from the band Driving and Crying. There is a brand new tribute album being put together with a bunch of artists who all broke big a little bit before, maybe a little bit after Driving and Crying. So yeah, that'll be out and it'll be a lot of fun. We are working on putting together a Halloween show, and we're going to ask guests to come, and we're going to host it at Atlanta Pizza in Euro. We're going to want everybody to come in costume. We don't have a time yet, but the date, October 22nd, which is a Sunday. That is 10/22/23. October 22nd, which is a Sunday. So put it on your calendar now. And in between now and then, we're going to try to put on a good show. We're also going to try to record it live and also give you guys prizes. So we have plenty of time to put that together. And we thank Mike, of course, for being a part of that.
Views, views.
Or.
I can snooze.
Last week was Praise PD, which I watched the first couple of those. It's pretty funny. And the Venture Brothers movie, which I haven't got to yet, but you watched it.
That was so good. That was so good. They crammed like a season's worth of stuff into 90 minutes. It easily could have been a season, and I hope it's not the end, but they wrapped up a lot. They left a lot of things open, but it was good.
And Jim Gaffigan special on Amazon Prime, which I watched. It was very funny.
I want to see that.
It's dark, too. That's
really?
It's called Dark Pale, yeah. He does some dark material, especially about COVID and stuff. All right, this week, The Beanie Bubble on Apple TV. The Zach Galifianakis movie about the Beanie Babies. I think it looks pretty funny.
Yeah, I'll use it.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, Elizabeth Banks. And a weird, non-bearded Zach Galifianakis.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm going to like that.
You don't like him without the beard?
He looks like a different person.
I don't think I want it, no.
Like Sam Elliott without the mustache.
Oh.
You can't handle
it. It's awful.
Galifianakis without the beard.
The lip.
He looks like a carp.
He does look.
All right.
Well.
Good Omens comes back this week on Amazon Prime. That was a good show.
That's a while since the first episode.
Yeah.
Or the first
season. I think COVID shut it down.
Not this me. I didn't like the first season all that.
You didn't like the first season? I liked it.
Gaiman's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Like semen.
And then number three, Physical, comes back.
That's it.
22. This is the third and final season.
I like Physical.
That's a capital V.
Capital V for views.
Views. Totally. I'm going to actually go get me a free Apple plan just to watch it and then cancel it again.
And you can watch the Venture Brothers, but because you've never seen it, right?
No.
Yeah. You have?
I've seen the cartoon. I've watched the cartoon a couple times.
You might like the movie, but you really have
to. Might.
You might.
I might. You just never know about me.
I don't know. You're a mystery. Riddle around.
To me, to myself.
To Molly. Thank you. Let's do our staff picks. I'll go first because it's really not amounting to anything. This past weekend with Hulk Hogan was a good episode. Theo Von Giddy brought up the train wreck Jesse Ventura interview, and you can tell that Hulk doesn't really want to trash it. Like, yeah, that guy's crazy, brother.
No sex tape talk
because Hulk's... Well, now fiance, not yet, wasn't his fiance. She's sitting there. Don't look over there, brother. I Googled one of the stories Hulk Hogan told, and it led me to a subreddit where it's just people talking about all the times Hulk Hogan lies. So that's interesting as well. But he also, Theo, interviewed Ric Flair, but that one's not out yet. So there's some good Ric Flair stories in there. Lots of stuff I didn't know about Hulk Hogan. So that's why I kind of thought it was cool. And plus, I like Theo Von, who I'll never be able to impersonate, by the way. Maybe do his lap. That's mine.
Mine is Reservation Dogs. Final season starts this week. Sad it's going away, but it's always been great every season.
The previews look good.
Yeah, they do. Mine is this Sunday. I don't know if this is coming on before the Gemstones or after it, but it's a special. It's called Metal Monsters, The Righteous Redeemer. And it's the whole behind the scenes of Danny McBride and the crew that built the Redeemer.
Shit.
So it's a documentary on the building of the Redeemer. So I think it's going to be really good. But it's on this Sunday on Max.
Metal
7th, July 30th.
Metal what?
Redeemer.
It's called Metal Monsters.
Right.
And the episode's called The Righteous Redeemer.
Sweet.
Redeemer. I wonder who does the song.
Let's see. Mine is a YouTube channel. Let's see. The YouTube channel is called Sing It Live. It is a group of musicians in Adelaide, Australia, and they every week This main guy's name's Darren Mullen. He is a producer and musician, and he gets his friends to come into this basement studio that he made, and they work all day on a cover. And then they record it kind of like a live video and then release it every week. And these guys are some of the best musicians of 80s music, 70s music, like yacht rock. They do like all the hits, but they do them pitch perfect. It's the most amazing cover band I've ever seen. And they interchange people and guitarists and stuff. It's kind of probably about 20 people that he works with, but amazing stuff. And if you really like live music and stuff that's put out, check them out. It's called Sing It Live World is the actual YouTube channel.
Cool. All right. That's it. That's our staff picks. So y'all check that shit out and let us know what you think about it.
Any Barkfell stuff going on?
No event this week. Well, there is something going on. Paulie's getting adopted.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. He was at the Downtown Pooch this past weekend, and he met a lovely young couple who are getting married in 2 weeks, and they have been looking for a dog, thinking about it for the last few months. So we're going over there Sunday to do the home check, and he's going to have a little visit with them, and then I'm going to hang on to him until they get back from their honeymoon, and then he's going to his new family.
Awesome. Are they going to keep the name?
They haven't said, but I guess. I don't know. I think they might keep his name. They like the name Paulie, so.
Wally Walnuts. Did they know the reference?
They did. Okay. They did. Yeah. I mean, they're pretty cool. I'd say they're probably like maybe late 20s, maybe 30. I don't know. But the husband is... he mostly works from home. He's in sales. He said, he goes, I think I'm going to take Paulie with me on sales calls.
Oh, wow.
So Paulie would be amazing on a sales call. Everywhere he goes, people are just like, I love him. He's so amazing.
Well, that's great news. Congratulations to Paulie.
Yeah, the old walnut. We're going to miss the old walnut.
If people want to donate to Barkville, where can they go?
They can go to barkvilledogrescue.org. And if you'd like to foster... or, you know, just do anything for us. We need people to do freedom rides from shelters and take dogs to the vet for us, show up at our events and maybe show a dog off, or even go to boarding and walk one of our dogs. So just go to barkvilledogrescue.org and you can fill out our volunteer thing or the foster thing, which would be amazing, or give us money.
Keep it canine. Before we go, Dustin, real quick, tell us what's going on with your brother's band, St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
October 15th, they are doing a concert at the Eastern in Atlanta, but it is not just a concert. At the same time they're going to be playing, in front of them, they're going to have a live wrestling event going on.
That's so crazy.
It's unique. I've never heard of it happening before, at least with a band that has some notoriety. Than somebody that didn't just drag in off the street. But Paul's a huge wrestling nut, you know, as Broen has talked about before when he's been on here. So I'm sure that was the beginning of this, was Paul getting told wrestling and playing live in front of wrestling. And he was like, go, yes. So they're setting that up. But we're going to have them on as the event gets closer, and they can explain, you know, the origins of it. I'm sure we'll have tickets to give away as it gets closer, and we can
I want to see this. Like, this sounds like something I want to see, because I think this is the only time this is ever going to happen.
Yeah.
So I really would like to see this. I was just listening to them today. I was listening to, I forget, is it Bermejo and the Devil? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I freaking love that song.
Well, that's awesome. We got to go to that. We'll add it to the show sheet so we can keep talking about it. All right, guys. Be on the lookout for a Radio Labyrinth Presents coming your way. Daniel Weinman, I believe he just won the largest World Series of Poker ever, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be talking to him. And that episode will be out when?
Yeah, it'll probably be next Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, that's happening. All right, guys, we got to run. Thank you for listening and supporting us. We really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun doing the show, so we hope that you're still enjoying it. Please share it with your friends. And until next time, please remember to
keep it together.